From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the Book of Acts as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Paul at Corinth. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Matthew 27 and verse 51. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. No mean miracle was wrought in the rending of so strong and thick a veil, but it was not intended merely as a display of power. Many lessons were herein taught us. The old law of ordinances was put away, and like a worn-out vesture, rent and laid aside. When Jesus died, the sacrifices were all finished, because all fulfilled in Him, and therefore the place of their presentation was marked with an evident token of decay. That rent also revealed all the hidden things of the old dispensation. The mercy seat could now be seen, and the glory of God gleamed forth above it. By the death of our Lord Jesus, we have a clear revelation of God, for He was not as Moses who put a veil over His face. Life and immortality are now brought to light, and things which have been hidden since the foundation of the world are manifest in Him. The annual ceremony of atonement was thus abolished. The atoning blood, which was once every year sprinkled within the veil, was now offered once for all by the great high priest, and therefore the place of the symbolic rite was broken up. No blood of bullocks or of lambs is needed now, for Jesus has entered within the veil with His own blood. Hence, access to God is now permitted, and is the privilege of every believer in Christ Jesus. There is no small space laid open through which we may peer at the mercy seat, but the rent reaches from the top to the bottom. We may come with boldness to the throne of the heavenly grace. Shall we err if we say that the opening of the Holy of Holies in this marvelous manner by our Lord's expiring cry was the type of the opening of the gates of paradise to all the saints by virtue of the Passion? Our bleeding Lord has the key of heaven. He openeth, and no man shutteth. Let us enter in with Him into the heavenly places, and sit with Him there, till our common enemies shall be made His footstool.
Christ for all my sin.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. After rejection by the intellectuals at Athens, Paul came to Corinth. This was a low point in Paul's travels, for he was alone, sick, and somewhat depressed because of having seen few souls saved in the northern part of Greece. In contrast to the philosophical climate of Athens, Corinth was a city of business and unbridled pleasure. In spite of his weakened condition, Paul labored on, preaching the message of Christ crucified. God gave him co-laborers in the form of Aquila and Priscilla, whom he led to faith in Christ, and who then joined him in his ministry. As the scriptures make clear, Paul was motivated by a strong necessity to preach the gospel. Now, to continue this message entitled Paul at Corinth, here is Dr. Cairns.
Corinth, in the ancient world, was a very famous city. And it was famous for many, many reasons. For instance, commercially, it was a center of great trade. It was situated strategically, and it was a city with a thriving economy. It was one of those places where people milled about, always busy making money. It was the very opposite to Athens, where Paul had last been, because there they were idlers, they were philosophers, they were theorists, they did nothing all day but talk. But here they did nothing all day but work and play and make money. So this was commercially a center of thriving trade. Politically, it was the capital city of the Roman province of Achaia, which took in by far the greatest part of the country. It was the large province, and this, of course, was an important city politically. Culturally, you don't think of Corinth as a place of culture, but to this day in architecture, you still talk about Corinthian columns, and that's not without reason. The reason is that the architecture of Corinth was celebrated throughout the ancient world, and it boasted some of standing examples of the ornate classical styles. It was also, and this would go down well in America, it was also a center of great sporting activity. The Isthmian Games were famous throughout the ancient world. And in fact, when you find Paul writing to the Corinthians and other Christians, and he draws his figures of speech from the Games, I don't think that they were the Olympic Games, as so many preachers have said, but they were the Isthmian Games. Paul lived for 18 months here in the sporting capital of Achaia. He knew all about the sporting goings-on, and he so often drew an analogy from those games to get a message over to the people there. So you can see what kind of a city it is. Now add to all that, that there wasn't a city in the ancient empire of Rome more renowned for its vice than the city of Corinth, and the picture is complete. I was reading one old Church of England preacher, and he summed up Corinth's sin in two words: unblushing vice. And that's very true. It was not only a center of sin, but it was a center where sin was openly flaunted. It's not just that great iniquities took place, that's true in every city, but in this particular city, great iniquities were openly practiced, and people thought nothing of it. Now I tell you, when a city or a nation gets to that stage, it's in dire danger. That's the trouble in the Western world today. So often, and I don't know if you've had this kind of argument put over here, but so often back in Britain, when we protest against the increasing sinfulness of the age, these sociologists — you'll gather by the way I say their name, I'm not greatly enamored of them. To me, they're a breed that we'd be better without. But, however, that's only by the way. These sociologists come along, and they tell us, if you would only study the social history of the country, you would find that all these sins have always taken place. And, in fact, they like to point out to us that in the period of English history, when evangelicalism was at its height, as they say, in the Victorian period in England, they said there was vice abundant, but it was swept under the carpet. They missed the point that we're making. Certainly there was vice in Victorian England, just as I'm sure there was vice at the same period in America. Certainly statistics show that moral crimes were vile and that they were practiced widespreadly. But my friend, let me say this. They were under the carpet. Now, I don't defend them wherever they are, but I say this, that they had to be under the carpet because legally they were wrong and they were punishable by law. Not only so, but public opinion was against them so that they could not be openly flaunted. But what have we got today? We have these same sins, but now they are legalized. We have these same sins, and it is the taxpayers' money so often that goes to support the sinner in his sin. We have these same sins, but they are openly flaunted in the sight of God and of man. And of course, you have to go back right into the bowels of the vilest heathenism to find a precedent for the kind of sins that we have in Britain and America today. You've got to go back into the vilest heathenism to find that. Openly flaunted. Corinth all over again. Now let me say this to you. It was to that very city that God directed his servant, a weary servant, a careworn servant, a sick servant, and God sent them there. And in that situation, by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Corinth was visited with the power of God. And if Corinth itself did not undergo a mighty change immediately, thousands of its inhabitants did. My friend, that's the message from the city of Corinth. That's the message from Acts 18 for America today. That's the message that we have got to get a hold of. That there is one answer for the ills morally and spiritually of this nation. And that answer is the power of God let loose in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was the message that so reached Corinth? You'll find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It was the preaching of Christ crucified. It was the message of the cross. It was the declaration of the old blood theology. It was standing on the great fundamentals of the faith of Christ. My, when Paul went into Corinth, the only thing he had was the gospel. The only power he had was the Holy Ghost upon him. And yet with the gospel and the power of the Holy Ghost, he saw a miracle done. Oh, may God cut through the undergrowth of our excuses and our carnality and our sin. We still have the same gospel. You wouldn't think it to hear many preachers, mind, for they have substituted something else for it. But we still have the same gospel. We still have the same Holy Ghost. My whole being revolts against the system of Bible interpretation which comes to the New Testament and says, well, we are living in a different time. And the reason why we can't see these things is we're living in a different time. I don't believe that. There's not a word in the New Testament to make me believe that. I believe in the same Holy Spirit with the same power and the same abilities. And I pray God that he find in us a people whom he can make to be instruments for the glory of his name and for the extension of his kingdom. The city was Corinth. You'll notice just in passing, it's a strange thing, and yet I suppose not so strange, that Paul saw a much greater work done in Corinth, filled with wickedness and vice, than he did in Athens, the city of the intelligentsia, the place of great culture and great learning. You see, men are always fools. The stupidest men very often are the most educated. I suppose that could be taken as an insult in a place where you've got a Christian university like Bob Jones. It's not meant that way, because Christian universities are almost non-existent. And Christian scholars are certainly not too plentiful, thank God for every one of them. But do you notice that usually when you give a man a little education, he flies in the face of God Almighty and he thinks that he knows more than his Creator? I was reading, I'm not going to pass comment on them all, but I was reading just last night, as I'm sure many of you did, in the Religion Today section of the press, of the reasons why people believe in God. Did you notice the Furman professor? You notice his argument for believing in God, that this is supposed to be a Christian university. If that's Christian, God save us from it. We need a revival of old-fashioned Christianity. Did you read the reasons why a Baptist professor believes in God? He doesn't believe in God at all. He believes in the God of his imagination. He has coined a new word. I think he has taken it partly from the Bible and partly from Star Wars. He believes in the God force. That's blasphemy. Blasphemy. So often, when men think they know a lot, they're only clowns and fools dressed up. That's what happened in Athens. They were so wise that they couldn't accept the simple gospel. To the Jews, Christ was a stumbling block. To the Greeks, he was foolishness. Don't ask me to believe that. Don't ask Almighty me to believe in a God who is sovereign and a God who in supernatural power intervenes in the affairs of men. Don't ask me to believe that. That's the attitude in Corinth, where they were just plain, downright, vile, guilty sinners. They were fools and they knew it. The Holy Ghost moved with power. I have quoted W.P. Nicholson, the great Irish Presbyterian preacher of the last generation. I'll say it again. He used to preach against pride as the sin that dug hell and damned the devil. And it's still doing it. Damning souls left, right and center. Well, thank God we have the gospel where we meet with sinners. We can see them saved. Let's look to the Lord to be doing that. I'd better get moving, otherwise we'll never get to the end of the chapter, the end of the portion. Just a word about Paul's companions, verse 2 to verse 5. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and he came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. That leads me to believe that Paul saw these two people saved through his own ministry. I don't believe they were saved when he came in contact with them, because you'll notice the reasons why he went to be with them, not that they were believers, not that they could have fellowship, but that they had the same job. They had a business, and he could work for them. That's the only reason we're given why he went to be with them. Notice how Aquila is described. He is a Jew, a certain Jew, lately come from Italy. Not a word about him being a believer. I think you'll find that just like all the other Jews, they were driven from Rome and they came, just as all other Jews did, to a place where they could hopefully do some business. But when they came to do business, there was a man of God and he did business with them. My, what a thrill it must have been for Paul to see two Jews saved in this heathen Gentile city. And what a thrill it must have been to see two Jews saved and to see those Jews go on with God. Same chapter, chapter 18 and verse 26, we find them going after Apollos and teaching him more perfectly the things of God, bringing him into the full assurance of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you get saved, it's never too early to get to work for God. As soon as you're saved, start serving the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.